This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
The number, but for Tubbs Studio, Boomer and G will program on this Wednesday morning. G is out here. We'll be back tomorrow. Fanatics Fest NYC, August 16th to 18th. And joining us will be at the Javits Center. And joining us in studio right now is the CEO of Fanatics, Michael Rubin himself. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Glad to be here.
Michael, it's great. Yeah, it's great to see you again. I want to get to Fanatics Fest first. So what was the birth of this? Whose idea? I'm sure it was your idea. And what do you expect to have happen that weekend in August?
You know, for me, I grew up a rabid trading card collector. And so I used to go to shows with my dad, my mom, all the time in the early 80s. God, I'm getting old. And I hadn't been back to a trading card show until about 3 or 4 years ago. When I went back, I had two thoughts. One, this is insane. There are 150,000 people at the first show I went to at the National in Atlantic City. The second thing I thought was it hadn't changed a lot since I was there in the 80s. And that's why I said, like, look, incredible passion. So exciting to see, you know, how many people come around the trading cards space. But, like, I'd been to Coachella. I'd been to South by Southwest. I'd been to so many different Comic-Con. And when you see that, you see these incredibly brand-wide experiences. I'm like, why is there nothing like this in sports? And I started just saying, like, is there anything? And really, outside of the, you know, when you go to the Super Bowl, you've got the Fan Fest. Or you go to MLB All-Star, you've got their Fan Fest. There was really no big sports festival. I said, we've got to do that for the sports industry. So this is really came out of really Fanatics saying, we got to create the greatest sports festival in the world. And so nothing like this has ever been done before. The first time will be this August 16th to 18th at Javits. We're going to have 200 of the best athletes in the world coming together there. We're going to have, you know, Tom Brady there. We'll have Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards. We'll have, you know, a bunch of the Knicks, bunch of the Giants. Just so many great athletes coming together. But then you're going to have the sports leagues there. You're going to have, you know, a big collector's zone. You have great brands there. So you'll really be able to do so many different things. I think for the sports fan, this would have been my dream as a 12-year-old kid to just go there for the weekend and be there, like, open to close 24/7 for the 3 days that we do this.
So I know we are your local partner. We're going to actually have three shows there. We'll have Brandon and Sal will be there in the afternoon that Friday, and then we'll have Tiki and Evan there Friday afternoon.
And shows over the weekend.
Shows over the weekend. Yep. There will other media partners there as well, and I'm sure ESPN. I heard that Pat McAfee's show is going to be there as well.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be amazing. You know, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, but I was telling these guys this morning, early in the early 80s, there was used to be called a Super Sports Show down in Atlanta.
I can tell you the greatest story about the Super Show that actually I probably never told before.
Did it include the Gold Club?
You know, me, I would never go to the Gold Club at the time. I probably, actually, the drinking age might have been 18 then, so maybe I could have gone. Yeah. But so when I started as an entrepreneur, I used to go to the Super Show every year. And you remember Nike had the gigantic booth when you first came in. And this was like as a kid, I started going when I was 15 years old. So the first big deal I made to really make my first money was at the Super Show. I might have been 16 or 17 years old. So you're talking, I hate thinking this, but like 35 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm at the Super Show and I find these Samaki Walker shoes, and they had a 250,000 pair of these shoes. And I agreed to buy them for like $8 or $10 a pair. They were like $50 shoes at wholesale. And I had to, like, now I've made this $2 million commitment, $2.2 million commitment, but I didn't have the money to actually pay for them. So I remember going to the payphone, and I called my banker at Continental Bank. The guy's name was Dennis Wasilewski. I said, Dennis, I got great news. I just did this deal. We're going to make millions of dollars. He said, oh, what's the deal? I said, well, I just bought this, like, 200, 250,000 pairs of these Samaki Walker sneakers, and we're going to sell them. I got them for like $8 a pair. I'm going to sell them for like to Modell's and to TJ Maxx and a Sports Authority for like $20 a pair. So that's great. He said, well, why are you calling me? I'm like, because you got to give me the money. I'm like, wait a second. He's like, how much money do you have? I'm like, I got like, I don't know. I need $2 million. I'll put a couple $100,000 of equity in. And he actually lent me the money on the payphone that day.
Wow.
That's probably how I made my first $1 million, literally, is like a 16, 17-year-old kid buying these shoes from a payphone at the Super Show.
Man, you're living the American dream. I mean, you really are. Michael Rubin, CEO of Fanatics. So you've divested from the Devils and the Sixers, right? And this is really your number one thing now.
Yeah, Fanatics is my 100% focus. I was lucky enough to be involved with the Philadelphia Sixers and the Devils, but I was pretty active in the Sixers until about 2 years ago. It became way too complicated. You know, with Fanatics growing beyond just our core consumer products merchandise business into the collectibles and trading card business, into the betting business, it was just too complicated. You can't take bets on your own team. You can't have deals with individual athletes. And we had 3,000 today, individual deals with athletes. So basically, you know, most athletes we work with at Fanatics directly in one capacity or another. And so that just made it too complicated. And to be honest, it was a distraction. It was a great learning for me. You know, ultimately we failed. We never won the championship with my involvement. Mm. And when you own a sports team, you have one job, which is to win a championship for your city. But it was a great experience. I learned a lot, you know, got to meet a lot of incredible people. And, you know, today Fanatics is, you know, it really is the greatest job in the world. I mean, we have, you know, 22,000 employees. The company's, you know, growing pretty aggressively. You know, I've only really started this in 2011. I'm going to do this the rest of my life. It's the greatest honor.
I have so much I want to ask you, but what's amazing to me is what you just touched on about how big Fanatics has become. It's amazing how even in the days of Amazon, like when you want sports stuff, it's your place that you go to. It's not Amazon. Like you go to Fanatics, which is crazy.
Amazon's an incredible company, but sports, like what makes sports great is the passion that all these incredible fans that are listening right now have. The reason all of us have jobs is because of the incredible passion of sports fans. And so you can't put that at an Amazon. Like, well, we wake up and go to bed every day obsessed with how do we make it better for the sports fan. And by the way, we're just getting started. Like, we are, you know, when I look at where we are today, I mean, I feel like you feel like we're a bigger company. I feel like we haven't even begun the first inning of the baseball game.
Right.
And so, you know, we've been in the merchandise business since 2011. And that business has grown quite a bit, but we have so much road in front of us. We've only entered the trading card and collectibles business in 2022 and only sports gambling business within the last year. And, you know, we think each of these three businesses will be, you know, incredibly, you know, large and important business to the sports ecosystem.
You know, you guys are so large and so big now, everybody sees everything that you're doing. And one of the controversies was this year's Major League Baseball uniforms.
Yeah.
And
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, yes, I know you are. and I'm familiar with it as well. The fans hated the uniforms. They didn't like it. It was not a Fanatics problem. You guys were doing something that Nike had told you to do. And Major League Baseball, I guess, was involved with that decision making.
Yeah, look. Here's the way I think about this. Anytime a player or a fan doesn't like something, as a industry, we've lost. And the great thing about fans is they care about, like, when you talk about what do people care about in life, sports is like, you know, everyone listen today. This is really passionate to them. So if someone gets something wrong and we have any involvement with it whatsoever, I feel like we failed. So the great thing was Nike's really want to innovate. Nike's a very innovative company overall. And not everything that they go to innovate, not everything we go to innovate works the way you want to. The great thing is when fans spoke, when players spoke, actually they were listened to. And now we're reverting back to all of the old lettering, all of the old numbering, all of the old tailored pants. And I think, you know, the great thing is if you get it wrong, you just got to say, hey, we screwed it up, and then let's go back and fix it.
Yeah, and I think you did that. You know, by the way, as a huge Ranger fan, hockey fan, I did post on X that you guys were taking over the uniform manufacturing.
Yeah, a little bit upset sitting here today seeing an Adidas jersey and a Reebok jersey. I don't see our new Fanatics jersey.
I have it.
We've got to get the marketing, you know.
I got my hockey jersey.
Yeah, we have it here, but yeah, these are legends right here. Rod Gilbert and Clark Gillies are legends. Those guys have passed away. They hang here in their honor.
We just want to be an addition to their honor.
right. So if you want to make their jerseys, we'll hang them up. But here's the thing. When I posted on X that you guys were coming out with those jerseys, immediately, I mean, I can't tell you how many hockey fans were making fun of the fact that, you know, are they going to do it like Major League Baseball? Are they going to do it? And then I investigated a little bit more. You guys are with SP up in Canada.
Yep.
And same group of guys, same kind of designers. You sent us the jerseys, and obviously you went above and beyond with these jerseys. And now for the first time in 10 years, fans will be able to get actual game-style jerseys as opposed to replicas.
Yeah, look, one of the great skill sets we have, and there's a lot of things we don't get right, we're really good listeners. And what we heard about the hockey sweater is people loved what they had, but there were a few things they want to make better. So what we said we would do is we would reinforce parts of the jersey where they had issues. People actually didn't like the dimples in the jersey. And so we basically took the existing jersey, listened really closely to the players and fans, and then made a slightly better version of it. And the reaction has been 10 out of 10. Here's the great thing with a sports fan. When you get it wrong, they're going to tell you loud. Mm. But when you get it right, they're also going to tell you loud. And the reaction we've had to the hockey jersey has been spectacular.
Same thing when we do radio.
I mean, yeah, that's why we have the greatest jobs in the world. Like, you know, I don't know. Can you curse on radio?
No, you can't.
No. Okay, not a podcast.
Like, we're on CBS as well.
Perfect. Okay. So in respect to CBS, when you screw something up, I said it more politely. Yes. When you screw something up, you know, we want to know. That's what makes us better. When we get it right, it's nice when people tell us. So yeah. I actually have this horrible disease. I live in, like, the place where the most negativity is social, right? Mm-hmm. And I go to bed and wake up every day looking social, and you know what? When people give us a hard time, if they're right, I'm, like, all over that. And if they're wrong, then you just try to figure out how to communicate better. But this is the way you make your company better.
Your story is amazing because, as you told us, this story, when you were 16, you buy these sneakers down at the
Milwaukee Walker sneakers, baby.
Unbelievable.
Atlanta Super Shell.
Right. So you go to Villanova, you drop out of Villanova, and then you go on to create this incredible company. Like, how, that's like the American dream.
Look,
you're living the American dream.
Everyone is different. I was legitimately the worst student in the world. I tell people this, they don't get it. I got a 780 combined on my SATs. Now, you got to be really stupid. I almost cursed again, by the way.
Yeah,
you got to be really stupid to get it. You're not really, I'm saying, for like, you would have expected, not really stupid. I'm saying it the wrong way, but like 780 is not a good SAT score. That's a combined score. Okay, I know, you know.
Some people don't take tests well. We know that.
But I'm not the person who learned well through school. Same time, as bad as a student as I was actually a worse athlete, okay? And the reason people joke all the time, why do I post these clips of my horrible athletic skills? Why do I make fun of myself that I got 7-8 on my SATs? Because I want people to know what's possible when you just work your ass off, okay? And for me, what's made me successful always has been an unrelenting work ethic. I work harder today than I've ever worked, and I love every minute. I work 17 hours a day, most days of the week, probably 350 days a year, and I'm honored to do it. And you know what? I have good relationship skills, and I have a little bit of common sense. If you put those things together, and you're just unrelenting, you generally get to a good place. And so that's what makes me, and that's why I like to make fun of myself about being a bad student or a bad athlete.
You know what? You got a hell of a lot of energy. I can tell you that right now.
Well, and that's why he makes me feel like a failure, honestly.
Or we can all inspire each other and push each other up.
I mean, yes. By the way, there is somebody in here that actually did play sports.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
That was a long time ago, though.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I needed you. I'm sure you saw beach volleyball or our beach football a few weeks ago. Did not turn out well.
Yeah, the white party.
Yeah. I thought as soon as, you know, Brady said you can be on my team. It's the first time I ever picked me on a team. When Brady said, come with me, we got this. I thought we had it. We were playing CJ Stroud, and I had Brady, Micah Parsons. I had Travis Scott. I thought we were like, it was.
Who doesn't belong and why?
Yeah. And by the way, I thought we were great. And sure enough, CJ Stroud and DeMar Hamlin looked at me. They said, Tom Brady, we're giving this everything. There's no playing here. We're taking down Tommy if we can. So looking forward to the rematch.
So the white party was amazing out in the Hamptons. And how many people did you end up having at that party?
A lot less than people think. It's actually, people always give me a hard time because, you know, everyone of your friends wants to come to the party. But it's a party. Last year we had 340 people. This year we had less than 400 people. So it's a really intimate party. Just, you know, a lot of people that are well-known come. What I love doing is bringing people from different backgrounds together. That's really what Fanatics Fest is about. Like, if you really think about this, I'm trying to bring the greatest athletes, the greatest artists, the greatest sports fans, the greatest teams all together for Fanatics Fest and create this kind of never-been-done sports festival before. Same thing with the white party. You see, What's amazing to me is you could see like the CEO of Uber, the CEO of Airbnb, or Jack Dorsey, who, you know, created Twitter, sitting there talking to the greatest athletes or the greatest artists, and you see so many great things come out of this. We've actually made a couple marriages already.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, listen, next year for the white party, I just want one invite. It's not for me, but it's for our producer, Al Dukes.
He's not going
to
go.
I would just love to have him have an opportunity just to be there to rub elbows with some of these great people, because he's a great person himself, even though he's not here today. But, you know, it's a huge party. Gets a lot of press. FanFest is going to get a lot of press.
Yeah, and by the way, it is. It's a 13-hour party, yes. And FanFest is actually going to be a 3-day weekend, so I can't wait. I'm going to be there the entire time, from before it opens each day to after it closes. I'm going to be listening to fans. I'm going to be watching what people love the most, what people don't. And by the way, I'll probably be embarrassing myself in a bunch of, you know, Brady's going to be throwing passes to a couple hundred kids one day, and I know...
the 40-yard dash. You have a lot of immersive stuff going on.
But you can come out for me. I think what I should work on is, I know for big WWE fans, you can actually come out as if you're your favorite WWE star, to the same way they make their entrance, you can make your entrance. That's probably the one thing I could do without screwing it up. A lot less pressure than catching a pass I took some batting practice at MLB a couple of days ago. It was not good. Did you see my pitch?
Stay in your lane.
I got to learn to stay in my lane. I think it should be more. I should work on my WWE entrance, or maybe I do have a lot of aggression. So the UFC fighting challenge, where you can kind of see it, the strength of your punching, that might be a good thing.
Real quick, how difficult to get all these people together to commit to one weekend?
Brutal. But here's the great thing. We've built such great relationships. When we ask people to come out, they generally show up. And so, you know, our team does a lot of it, but I'll call anybody who we need. The thing with it, nothing's beneath me. So I'll call anybody we need to say, hey, here's what we're doing. And the thing that's interesting, a lot of people don't understand what we're doing. So you got to explain it to them. So when you call someone and say, you know, our team calls and they explain it, it's a little harder to digest. You're going through multiple marketing people. Right. First, I just FaceTime somebody and say, yo, I'm creating this first-of-a-kind sports festival. We're going to have 200 athletes there. You know, we're going to have a 2,500-person stage with the biggest athletes in the world being interviewed about things that are important to them, to all these league activations. And by the way, we got some crazy announcements coming that we haven't even announced yet that are going to make it even that much more special. So I think I'm always like a really nervous person when I do something for the first time, because my personality is like, when I did the white party for the first time, like, all you're thinking is everyone going to show up in the Hamptons, okay? When I do Fanatics Fest, I'm like, we got to get 100,000 of the best sports fans in the world to come through this and have the best time of their life and say, like, this was incredible. Like, I'm going to be out there asking people, what'd you like? What'd you not like? What could we do better? But, you know, bringing people together for the first time, it's not easy, but I think people trust us and believe in us, and so they know. And we do know how to put on a party. Like, if there's one thing people would say,
yes,
you know, we do know how to put on a party. If the whole Fanatics thing doesn't work out, I could always be a party promoter. Yes. I joke about that all the time.
Will you hang around for one more segment?
Of course.
I appreciate it.
I don't know that he can. Can he or not?
Can he stay for one more segment, guys?
According to his people, no.
I can't if my guys let me. I just do what I'm told.
Your people are saying no, so whatever. But I got to tell you, Michael, good luck for Fanatics Fest. It is going to be an awesome weekend here in August. And I know that you guys are going to take a huge footprint at the Javits Center. You also have a huge memorabilia part of this. There's going to be everything a sports fan could
dream of, from the greatest league activations to a great collector section to a, you know, great store to special drops to special people dropping things that nobody knows about yet, that there's going to be lines of thousands of people to get. And most importantly, maybe you'll give me like a really soft football toss that I could catch, like maybe from like 3 feet away.
We could do it right here, right?
It's
now.
Right there.
There. We'll do it right here, now.
By the way, just for the record, I probably had 15 questions to ask him. I got two in.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's your show.
I got it. Yay!
No hands.
There you go.
No hands. Caught it with his chest.
Fanatics Fest NYC, Javits Center, August 16th to 18th. Michael Rubin, thank you very much for coming in, and hopefully we get to do it again at some point when you got more time. Exactly. I want to talk about the ski stuff.
On a radio show.
Holy smokes.
16.
You weren't on with me and Craig.
No.
He talked about you all the time.
Craig's family.
Yes, exactly.
We grew up together.
Which is amazing. Thank you very much for coming in.
Glad to be here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
It is Wednesday. We'll get Michael Rubin back in a little bit as he is on a little bit of media tour. More on Fanatics Fest NYC, August 16th to the 18th at the Javits Center. Something we will be a part of is BT and Sal on that Friday. We'll do their show there live, Evan and Tiki as well, and then shows over the weekend. So certainly sounds like a very cool event. So more on that coming up.
And how about this? The guy who hosted the effing white party, right, is doing an interview out of our crappy office, me and Al's office over there.
Because he wants to hang out with us.
Slumming it.
Yeah, to come back with us.
Yeah, he actually really enjoyed it. He told me, I don't do a lot of radio interviews. As a matter of fact, he couldn't remember the last time he did a radio interview. He's done a lot of podcasts.
Yes. A lot of YouTube stuff.
You talk about energy.
Yeah, and good mic technique, by the way.
Yes, he knows.
Smart technique.
Pretty good so far. Chris, while we've got you for a couple of minutes, give us some stuff.
All right, brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. Some more from last night's Hard Knocks episode with the Giants. GM Joe Shane acknowledging that all the work that goes into coming up with a free agency plan matters very little once the market actually opens and other teams get involved with their own valuations.
Well, I mean, think about all the meetings, all the film, here all weekend, like just to come up with these names, these price points, and it's totally out of your control.
And to some extent, that had to do with the Saquon Barkley situation, some of the other guys that they either had to increase their offer to or they had to let go to other teams.
Yeah, they also lost Xavier McKinney, too.
Yeah,
they kind of glossed over that. It was almost like he got word that he, so they were watching it on TV, they got word that he signed, and it was like, wow, he got a lot of money.
$17 million a year. Thanks.
The problem for the Giants were they had two players that were really good at their positions, but they just didn't want to pay them what they ended up getting paid.
Right.
Because they had to pay other players to fill other holes that they felt that were more important on their team. And that's the beauty of being the general manager and kind of moving the pieces around on the board. And they lost a top safety. They lost a top running back, but they replaced him with an edge rusher and two offensive linemen.
It felt, watching this episode more than any other, it felt like they were doing fantasy football. Right, right. I mean, we're talking about these pieces on the board and what fits where and this. It's like, these are, it was weird.
They can't think of it that way.
I know they can't. Yeah. And I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. They're doing everything they have to do. It's just watching it. It's like, you realize how much of a business it is. And while they're humans, human beings and athletes, it's like they're pieces on a board.
Yeah.
Is exactly how they describe
it. Fantasy football, you're sitting at home playing your franchise, whatever sport, Madden, and you're putting your team together in the offseason. There you go.
Pretty wild.
All right, so that was free agency. How about the trade market? Here was Shane finalizing the deal with the Panthers for Brian Burns with his good buddy and new Panthers GM.
Daniel Thomas Morgan. What's up, buddy? Oh, my God. What are we doing, Dan? Why do we need to add on a seventh, Dan? Like, come on. You and I are going to be doing this a long time, hopefully. And, like, we got to have allies. I don't want to throw in a seventh. Like, I need players too, Dan.
Good catch there. Hopefully. Never know. For either of us. And ultimately, Shane did get his way in that little negotiation there.
Let's just do what we said on the last one. I mean, that works out. We met you in the middle with some of your demands. We good? All right, I'm texting this to you right now.
And with that, done deal. Burns becomes a Giant. Now, what are the early stages of the draft? Giants, of course, end up with Malik Nabers, but they certainly discuss the quarterback, specifically Jaden Daniels, in the lead-up to round number one.
Daniels, have you guys seen enough that you would trade up for him?
Daniels?
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
If we are about to pull this deal off, I'm going to have palpitations.
All right, so you got Shane there teeing it up for his staff.
So that's That's another good teaser for next week.
Yes, that is a teaser for next week.
Yeah.
No hesitation from Dable. Daniels?
None.
I would. Yeah.
Like,
and
none.
That wasn't chopped or edited. That was him. Yeah.
Yes, and if you saw it, it was like, head up. Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
I would.
Yeah,
100%. Ooh, the amazing thing about that is that one of their division rivals got him.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck dealing with that.
Yeah.
I mean, so part of me says Joe Shane has done a great job here, doing what he has done to manipulate his salary cap and to bring in some players and to get guys like Devin Singletary and Burns in here, and of course the two offensive linemen. The other part of me says, man, they just missed on some of the other things that they really wanted to do, and that was obviously try to find the quarterback of the future.
Hard to get it all done.
I do wonder, had they done this around the time of Gettleman, if I would feel the same way. But watching this, if I was a Giant fan, I would feel really comfortable with these two. It just seems like they have so much control over what they want to do, how they want to do it, and watching them put it into effect has been, for me, it's been eye-opening, actually. I feel like the Giants are in very good hands right now.
So two players that are under enormous, well, three if you want to throw Aaron Rodgers into the mix, but he's already proven that he can play at a Hall of Fame level, even if he never plays another a down again. But, you know, two players right now in this moment in New York that are under extreme pressure. One would be Pete Alonso because the immediacy of it and trying to figure out whether or not he can get his team to the playoffs. And then number two has to be Daniel Jones once again.
No doubt. No doubt. He's right back where he was a couple years ago.
And hopefully he gives you the performance he gave you a couple years ago.
Jerry, you mentioned them being very high on Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
That came through. All right. Well, I didn't see a lot of clips from that floating around. But did you play from last week's episode, I think it was, the interaction with Dable during the interview at the Combine?
I didn't play it, but
all
I saw it.
Well, just in conjunction with that, and maybe you can fill in on the full episode, which I've not seen yet from last night, some of the Nabers stuff. But this was Dable with Nabers, again, as they sat down with him in Indianapolis during the scouting Combine.
How do you handle losing? Be straight.
Not at all. I really hate it. I hate losing more than I love winning.
Okay, and then how do you handle not being involved early in the game?
How do I handle it?
Yeah.
I handle it pretty tough, especially, you know, during the week.
That's what I'm looking for.
And then, they went into some specifics there about game planning or whatever, and Dable continued kind of in conjunction and in agreement with Nabers and even shedding some light on his own personality.
I don't mind that. You know, I want guys that want to get the ball, and I want guys that hate losing, but you got to learn how to harness that a little bit.
Right.
You know, I don't mind a competitive juice, man. You need some dogs.
Right.
I want guys that want the ball.
Yes, man.
You know, sometimes you lose. I mean, I lose it too as a coach, but I got to learn how to harness that good.
Gotcha.
And as he says, sometimes I lose it as a coach. Joe Shane kind of perks up and smiles and like pats him on the back for a little reassurance.
Yep. Who could ever forget, you know, that first game down in Tennessee?
Yeah.
When Daniel Jones threw the interception in the red zone right out of the gate.
Yep.
And there was a conversation, I mean, like literally right in his face on the sideline.
And then that offensive line. And I think all Giant fans
love that.
Because you saw how he played right after that.
Yes.
Cause effect, no doubt.
A little fire. That's what you want. All good. All right, transition to the baseball now. All-Star game last night in Arlington. The American League did beat the National League 5-3. Boston's Jaron Duran had the go-ahead two-run homer in the fifth. He was named the MVP. First inning excitement, Juan Soto comes up against Paul Skenes, and he had said the day prior that he basically almost guaranteed he was going to get Aaron Judge to the plate, which he did ultimately because he drew a walk. Here was Soto afterwards on his approach against the Pirates rookie right-hander.
Before facing him, yeah, definitely I was trying to take him deep, though. But
yeah, it was.
Definitely after two strike, I was trying to you know, worked that bad because I want to make sure he faced him too. So I get my job done.
And he did. He handed it off to Judge, who took a first pitch fastball and grounded it to third. He was 0-for-2 on the night. Pete Alonso struck out in his lone appearance. So there you go with the All-Star stuff. I'm told my time is up because I guess Mr.
Your time
Rubin is
has
coming
come
back.
And gone. But we'll you'll be back in an hour.
We'll have to get to that Tiger Woods sound next
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, coming up at 9:20.
Very good. Yes.
All right, Chris, thanks very much. More with Michael Rubin from Fanatics in just a moment. Coming to you live from Bill Ford Tough Studio, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Bill Ford, Seth Studio, Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Rejoined by the CEO of Fanatics, Michael Rubin. Again, Fanatics Fest NYC Javits Center, August 16th to the 18th. BT and Sal live there on Friday. Evan and Tiki live there on Friday. Shows Saturday and Sunday from the radio station as well. I said before, so much I would like to ask you about, but I'll keep it to this just for a moment. I love the idea. Because I was like you, we're about the same age. I was huge into the car shows,
too. So you say we're both
too.
Old.
Well, it's hard to say that when he's in the room, because he will
that's
sit there
and
put
his hand
up. That's
a fair point, because he's
really old. Yeah, but yeah, we are around here. We are kind of old. But I was like you. The card shows, the trade shows all over the place. When you come up with this idea, the idea of putting the interactive stuff in, where does that come from? Because you could have just very well just had athletes signing stuff and had a collection of superstars. I love this idea to get the kids in.
Yeah, you know, for me, one of the things that's made me, that's given me whatever success I've had has been like the mentality of not being afraid to fail at all. And so I always dream big and throw a lot of things at the wall, and some of it sticks and some of it doesn't. And so when I, you know, went to these card shows, remember them as a kid, went back, you know, in the last couple of years, I saw, okay, this hasn't really changed a lot. Incredibly passionate collectors, but you know, having gone to Comic-Con, having gone to Coachella several times, having gone to South by Southwest, having seen so many other festivals in different industries, my reaction was like, we can do something crazy in sports. Like, we can do something that's never been done before. And by the way, I also haven't been to every sports event and seeing like what they do at Fan Fest at Super Bowl or the All-Star Games at the NBA and Major League Baseball. It just allowed you to immediately dream big and say, well, what would every sports fan want to do? And so for me, you just kind of like think big, dream big, and nothing's impossible. And so the worst you could do is ask. And the great thing with me is like my first couple phone calls was I called Brady and I said, hey, I got this crazy idea. I want to do, you know, something called Fanatics Fest. We want to bring together 100,000 fans of Javits. You know, would you come and would you, you know, help me get this thing started and speak in front of a couple thousand people and throw passes to a couple hundred kids and just help make it great. And then, you know, you call KD and KD says I'm in. And then you call, you know, Anthony Edwards and he says I'm in. You start calling people. And once you have 5 or 10 great people, everybody it follows. Grows. And so that's the great thing about starting something like this. You get the right people at the foundation. Everything follows with it.
You know,
by the way, Eli Manning, you know, great. Anytime you call Eli, he's always up to help. Whether it's a charitable thing we're doing, whether it's something we're building at Fanatics, he's such a great partner. And so we were blessed to have great people to start this with. And I think that's what made people say, like, we're in.
Well, the Manning brothers, Derek Jeter, go on. I mean, you have a ton of athletes. I'm just looking at your website now, fanaticsfest.com. I mean, there's an autograph photo op zone, there's an immersive brand and league activation zone, the theater, the center stage, Fanatics Superstore, lifestyle zone, collector zone, collector workshop stage, there's going to be a kids zone, a memorabilia museum.
Hundreds of millions of dollars of memorabilia and trading cards, and we keep adding things every day,
insane.
Which is so
it's
fun.
It's insane.
Like, I got one, when I looked at my phone, they're like, call me back, because I got two giant stars we haven't even announced yet that are going to be coming to this. And by the way, we're going to be doing product launches that people haven't thought about yet that we're going to be for the first time there. So, you know, I want to make this a sports, you know, like the kind of the, my goal would be, what could this be in 10 years from now? That we have 20, 30, 40 of these in the world, and it brings out the best 100,000 people to each one of these, and you have tens of millions of the best sports fans come to these everywhere in the world.
It's kind of like the car show, how it travels the world, and you can travel this thing all over the place. Now, interesting.
And by the way, why do we not have this for sports? Like,
I don't
think
know
about
why.
It. It's crazy.
That's what I'm saying, yeah, it is crazy.
What our job was to take it and fix it.
But it takes somebody with the expansive group of people that you not only have around you, but the partners that you have, the leagues. You're with every league. I was just thinking, of all the leagues to deal with, Who's the biggest pain in the ass?
The leagues, they're all so easy to work with.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
So pleasurable. They're never difficult. We've never had a complicated situation with any of the sports leagues. Look, I'm going to tell you one thing about the sports leagues. When you're doing a deal with them, they're really tough because they're fighting to get every penny from you they can. Once you get a deal done, they're actually great partners. And so one of the things that's been surprising, a lot of the times the leagues will kind of say, like, trust me, my nature is like, hell no. Like, you know, you guys are so, you know, you're always fighting for every penny for your owners. But once you get a deal in place, all the leagues are actually great partners. All of them. So when we went to them with the idea of Fanatics Fest, and I called Roger Goodell or Adam Silver or Rob Manfred or Gary Bettman or Don Garber and said, like, look, I've got this idea. They weren't like, well, they're like, great, we're in. Let's go. Let's come. And by the way, the leagues are spending a lot of money to come mm-hmm. here, each of the leagues, to put incredible displays together, to make things that are great for fans. They're using their own networks to bring in their own athletes, separate of our athlete relationships, some of the big social influencers. So it's like, it kind of shows what the strength of the relationship, because without the leagues, we also, first of all, none of us would have jobs. And also, we wouldn't be doing Fanatics Fest because they're helping make it happen in a big way.
Exactly. So you mentioned Tom Brady a number of times. You're a buddy of his. He's getting ready to start a new job. Do you sense that he's a little bit nervous about his new job with Fox?
No, not at all. I sense the thing with Tom that's so special about him, it's why I think we have such a close relationship. His work ethic is insane. And so what I see, the energy that he puts into doing something is like something that, it's like, I respect it because, like, he's generally the first person that I communicate with in the morning because nobody else is up when he gets up. And when I get up, it's just, he's...
We're up.
Well, okay.
We are up.
Okay,
this is true.
Guys, hit me in the morning. I'm ready to go. But I need more 4 and 5 a.m. friends. Actually, I have the 5 a.m. friends that are going to bed. Most of my friends are like artists. They're still up from the night before.
Yeah.
Like, and then Tommy's up in the morning kind of going out. But no, I think he is going to do an incredible job. And it's going to be fun to watch him. And the one thing with Tom, his work, I think, again, is just he outworks everybody.
And that's the thing about you. And my question, I'm not even being funny. Do you sleep? Like, how do you find the energy to do this? Because this seems to me that this has taken years to plan.
Yeah, so I sleep about 5 hours a night. It varies. Sometimes I can be as little as 3.5 or 4 hours. Sometimes I can be as much as 6. Last night I actually slept like 5.5 hours. I looked at my Whoop. I was very excited when it told me that I actually got a good night's sleep. But I don't, like, I just feel like I'm so excited in what I'm doing every day. Like, I wake up, like, just, I can't wait to jump up and start looking at my phone and dealing with all the things. By the way, when I look at my phone, there's always good things and bad things in my phone. Like, it's not like everything, like, there's problems every day that go wrong. Like, you're dealing with just mini crises and BS and things that didn't go the way you want. But it's like, it's so fun what we're doing. When you think about a company like Fanatics, that we just got in the gambling business, okay? And people told us we had no shot. People said FanDuel and DraftKings, they're a duopoly. You have no shot. Guess what? You know what? I love being the underdog. Nothing better than being the underdog. And you know what? We're like making real progress. I think we've got one of the best three parts. I think the Fanatics Sportsbook app today is every bit as good or better than the FanDuel and DraftKings app. I think people are telling us that now. They didn't tell us that 9 months ago. And, you know, we're seeing it. Customers are moving. We're picking up share every single month. So, like, I love competition. For me, I compete in business because I couldn't compete in sports. Unlike you, who actually was a pretty successful guy.
Well, we compete in this radio business now. I can tell you that.
And by the way, how much fun do you have looking at ratings, seeing how you're doing? Are you kicking everyone's ass around you? Because that's the competition you do now.
Yeah, but I never touch the money. I never touch the money. You know why? I always want to be better. I always want to have more information. I always want to be more entertaining the next day than we were the previous day. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it works around here.
And you say what you say, I could not agree more with. I care about financial results for Fanatics, for winning as a company. I don't care about personal financial results. I'm set. Like, this to me has not, like, I don't care how valuable Fanatics is. I care about, how do we build the greatest company in the world? How do we take all the things we didn't go well? You were talking about the MLB jersey situation before. How do we take a situation that we kind of got stuck in the middle of, and how do we use that to make our company better? Okay. How do we just do everything that we do better each day? And I got to tell you something. Some things we do really well, and some things we suck at. When we suck at something, we're going to work our ass off that much more to be better at it.
Here's the thing about you. As we talked to Michael Rubin, CEO of Fanatics, I'm assuming that owning a baseball, football, basketball team's got to be a lot of fun, especially when you're the face of the franchise like Bob Kraft is for the New England Patriots. It's got to be great walking around with all those Super Bowl rings and everything. But the beauty of you is that you have a piece of everything. Like I feel like your company is bigger than all of that, just simply because you have these deals with all of these leagues and all of these teams.
So look, I say this humbly, and I want this to come across the right way. I agree with you. Like I owned, you know, I was a very visible part of the Philadelphia 76ers, and it was an honor to do it. And by the way, we didn't succeed because we didn't win a championship ever.
Well, you had Ben Simmons.
Right.
He's on the Nets now. I don't know how to know that.
So
he's
a
Nets fan, by the way.
Yeah. I'm moving on to the Nets. I'm very good at just gracefully moving on when I need to.
He's not back. By the way.
Well, your job is not to. So for me, to be around sport the way I am, to get to work with so many incredible athletes and owners and sports properties, like I think I have the greatest job in the world. So for me, when people said, was it hard to move on from the Sixers? The answer for me was, well, I love the team, and Joel is like family to me. He's like my brother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Josh Harris and Dave Blitzer and Dave Adelman, I'm super close with the current ownership group. But it actually wasn't hard because I knew that the opportunity I had with Fanatics was so big, and I was thinking, like, I was just frothing at the mouth thinking about how do I get into the collectibles business? How do I get into the online sports betting business? How do I do things different and better? And how do I start something like Fanatics Fest? Like, for me, you're right. Right now, Fanatics Fest, as soon as the White Party got done, I put all of my emphasis in the nights and mornings before, like, my normal 12 hours of meetings a day into getting more people to come out for it. That's why I'm here today. Talk about it, because I'm so excited about it. So, you know, it's just, like, I'm lucky to do what I do.
Is it, are you going to the Olympics this year?
I am.
You are, okay.
Last two basketball games, 7th through the 10th of August.
Are you sure they're going to be in those games?
I am.
Okay. You are, okay.
I am.
I mean, there's a little bit of controversy around that team right now.
I'm confident.
Well, we all are confident in their abilities, but can they play together as a team?
You know, listen, let's keep this real. Basketball is a different sport than, say, football. Like, those are the two sports I'm around the most. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, a lot more players on a football team, and I think you grow up kind of, you know, it's just less of an NBA kind of, where you have, you know, a couple superstars get you a championship. I believe you've got great people that will play really well together. And you know what? Sometimes, look, we're in an age of social media's everywhere. Everyone knows everything. You can't keep anything a secret. So stuff that used to, when you played, you know, you didn't have social media to broadcast everything right away. You know, think about if you played today, it's a different world. You probably would get yourself in trouble today the way maybe you didn't, you know, when you play.
Back in the day, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But he'd also make $50 million a year.
Yeah. But he won't care.
He'd get invited to the White Party.
he would just want to win more games, have better ratings,
and
have more fun. Because at the end of the day, what are you going to do with the money? But what are you going to do with, you know, that feeling of winning? And for me, again, remember one thing. I can't win in playing sports. I can't win in school. I can win in business. And that's why I've got such a great opportunity with Fanatics.
Can I just get two more in real quick? Number one on Fanatics Fest, we're talking about the basketball. The fact that you got Brunson Hart, Walt Frazier, the timing of that in New York City, difficult to do? Or, again, those guys just want to be a part of it?
Here's what was crazy. I don't even know Ben Stiller. And I heard that our guys called Ben Stiller. He's like, or he actually reached out to us and said, I want to be part of this. This is great. So we've got, like, the Knicks panel, the Giants panel. They're going to be incredible. Like, and by the way, I called Strahan last week. I'm like, hey, Stray, can you come out and do this? He's like, yeah, of course I want to do that. He said he thought he was going to be away. Now he's here. He can make it work. By the way, he's going to be, like I said, interviewing me and Travis Scott. He's going to be, which I just realized I wasn't supposed to announce yet, but I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, that's fine. That's good. Yeah, so, we broke some news.
Yeah, perfect. We broke some news by accident. What happens when you wind me up and I just keep going? but you know, Strahan's going to be on the panel for, nice. With the Giants. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think when you explain to people what you're doing, people want to be part of something that's really cool. And I think there's nothing like this has ever been tried or done in sports. So I think it's been a pretty easy reception. The only thing that's hard is someone's like, okay, you know, we asked Bron to do it. Well, he's still going to be in Europe. Okay.
He wasn't. Is Bronny coming?
He's
got to come. Bronny's got to go.
I don't know that answer. I know Bron's in Europe. So my point is, like, you ask a lot of people, like, hey, I'm in Europe with my family. I only get a month off a year. So there's, like, you know, 20-30 percent of the people are just so far away, it makes it hard. But we're going to get people to travel.
There's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be great. It's going to be anything you do turns into gold. So this is going to be fantastic.
I appreciate those kind words.
All right, you're welcome. But let me ask you real quickly, off the top of your head, highest selling jerseys for active athletes, okay, NFL, would that be Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce?
Those two and CJ Stroud would be
three. CJ Stroud, really?
Think about this. New player, team no one expected to be good, comes out, does great, gets second round of the playoffs. So I think Patrick was one. I think Travis, helped by wifey over there.
Yes.
Girlfriend,
wifey.
I like to tease him and just call, like, okay. I'm a guy's band. I like to banter all the time.
All right, okay. So, you know, okay.
Girlfriend becomes wifey.
Yes.
So helped by Taylor.
Tom Brady still.
Always great. Yeah, I mean, he's like, honestly, he's like a jersey selling machine. CJ, top jersey. So those are top jerseys that I know off the top of my head.
All right, baseball.
But this year, Caleb Williams so far.
Oh, yeah, okay. So all right, let's talk baseball. Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge?
Yes.
Right, Paul Skeens now. What about Skeens?
He's doing great. He's doing great.
I would think so.
Helped by Livy Dunn, of course.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Wifey.
Yeah, helped by wifey.
NBA. So it's got to be LeBron.
Always.
Always LeBron.
Always. Steph, always. Anthony Edwards, great. Joel Embiid, great.
Durant? Right.
Always.
Does it matter which jersey?
Which one?
Yeah, people like newness. So like when you have a city distant jersey, it comes. People like change. That's what really, if you're just selling the same jersey year over year, like someone doesn't need to buy another, you know, if Patrick Mahomes, you know, exact version, what people look for is what's a new product that's coming.
All right, so do the City Connect ones do well then?
City Connect jerseys do amazing. Nike's done an incredible job innovating that.
See, that's a good Connect thing, what they've done.
Great, not good. So I bet you City Connect, City Edition jerseys are probably a third of the respective league's business.
Wow.
Very incremental. They've done an amazing job with that. And more to come.
All right, so NHL has got to be Connor McDavid.
Without question.
Maybe Connor Bedard, maybe, rookie of the year. 19-year-old. This is his birthday today.
By the way, if you think about like a new career, you want to become a buyer at Fanatics in the jersey, I mean, like, you're killing it right now.
Well, I could take Brandon's spot in a heartbeat.
Brandon's out. We see Brandon. You're out. We got Boomer replaced. He's gonna handle all marketing. He's gonna handle all jersey buying.
How about Lionel Messi for Miami?
Number one jersey all last year was Messi.
That's got to be crazy
for all sports.
Yes,
really?
Crushed.
And that was the Miami jersey or the Argentinian jersey?
Miami jersey.
Damn.
Yeah,
that is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. You're missing one.
I'm missing what from sport? What sport?
I'm gonna give you a hint.
Okay.
You're thinking about the wrong gender right now.
Oh, female.
Oh, Caitlin Clark.
Blowing out.
Yeah.
Incredible. Number one draft jersey ever.
So the question is, like, you know, for somebody like Tiger Woods, Serena Williams, and Caitlin Clark, these are generational talents that have an impact on the youth of America, maybe the youth of the world for that matter.
For
and
sure.
Maybe change the game. And, you know, Caitlin Clark plays the game like Larry Bird played the game when he was with the Celtics. And it was amazing to watch her and watch him. I mean, what do you think the overall impact of somebody like Caitlin Clark on the younger generation will be?
I think words can't underestimate what a huge impact she's having, what a huge impact the top WNBA stars are having. People talked about women's sports would happen for like decades. We've been hearing it for decades. It's going to happen. It's here. I remember just 5 years ago, someone was talking to me about a WNBA franchise. It's like, hey, it's $10 million. Today they're worth $200 million probably.
Wow. But they're still losing money, though.
By the way, a lot less money than a lot of NBA teams or NHL teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Back to the Sports Up Studio, Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Rejoined by the CEO of Fanatics, Michael Rubin. Again, Fanatics Fest NYC, Javits Center, August 16th to the 18th. BT and Sal live there on Friday. Evan and Tiki live there on Friday. Shows Saturday and Sunday from the radio station as well. I said before, so much I would like to ask you about, but I'll keep it to this just for a moment. I love the idea. Because I was like you, we're about the same age. I was huge into the car shows,
too. So you say we're both
too.
Old.
Well, it's hard to say that when he's in the room, because he will
that's
sit there
and put
his hand
up. That's a fair point,
because
he's really old.
Yeah, but we are around here. We are kind of old. But I was like you. The car shows, the trade shows all over the place. When you come up with this idea, the idea of putting the interactive stuff in, where does that come from? Because you could have just very well just had athletes signing stuff and had a collection of superstars. I love this idea to get the kids in.
Yeah, you know, for me, one of the things that's made me, that's given me whatever success I've had has been like the mentality of not being afraid to fail at all. And so I always dream big and throw a lot of things at the wall, and some of it sticks and some of it doesn't. And so when I, you know, went to these card shows, remember them as a kid, went back, you know, in the last couple of years, I saw, okay, this hasn't really changed a lot. Incredibly passionate collectors, but... You know, having gone to Comic-Con, having gone to Coachella several times, having gone to South by Southwest, having seen so many other festivals in different industries, my reaction was like, we can do something crazy in sports. Like, we can do something that's never been done before. And by the way, I also haven't been to every sports event and seeing like what they do at Fan Fest at Super Bowl or the All-Star Games at the NBA and Major League Baseball. It just allowed you to immediately dream big and say, well, what would every sports fan want to do? And so for me, you just kind of like think big, dream big, and nothing's impossible. And so the worst you could do is ask. And the great thing with me is like my first couple phone calls was I called Brady and I said, hey, I got this crazy idea. I want to do, you know, something called Fanatics Fest. We want to bring together 100,000 fans of Javits. You know, would you come and would you, you know, help me get this thing started and speak in front of a couple thousand people and throw passes to a couple hundred kids and just help make it great. And then, you know, you call KD and KD says I'm in. And then you call, you know, Anthony Edwards and he says I'm in. You start calling people. And once you have 5 or 10 great people, everybody it follows. Grows. And so that's the great thing about starting something like this. You get the right people at the foundation. Everything follows with it.
You know,
by the way, Eli Manning, you know, great. Anytime we call Eli, he's always up to help. Whether it's a charitable thing we're doing, whether it's something we're building at Fanatics, he's such a great partner. And so we were blessed to have great people to start this with. And I think that's what made people say, like, we're in.
Well, the Manning brothers, Derek Jeter, go on. I mean, you have a ton of athletes. I'm just looking at your website now, fanaticsfest.com. I mean, there's an autograph photo op zone. There's an immersive brand and league activation zone, the theater, the center stage, Fanatic Superstore, lifestyle zone, collector workshop stage. There's going to be a kid zone, a memorabilia museum.
Hundreds of millions of dollars of memorabilia and trading cards. And we keep adding things every day,
insane.
Which is so
it's
fun.
It's insane.
Like I got one, when I looked at my phone, they're like calling me back because I got two giant stars we haven't even announced yet that are going to be coming to this. And by the way, we're going to be doing product launches that people haven't thought about yet that we're going to be for the first time there. So, you know, it's I want to make this a sports, you know, like the kind of the my goal would be, what could this be in 10 years from now? That we have 20, 30, 40 of these in the world, and it brings out the best 100,000 people to each one of these, and you have tens of millions of the best sports fans come to these everywhere in the world.
It's kind of like the car show, how it travels the world, and you can travel this thing all over the place. Now, interesting.
And by the way, why do we not have this for sports? Like,
I don't
think
know
about
why.
It. It's crazy.
I'm saying, yeah,
that's
it is crazy.
What our job was to take it and fix it.
But
it takes
somebody with the expansive group of people that you not only have around you, but the partners that you have, the leagues, you're with every league. I was just thinking, of all the leagues to deal with, who's the biggest pain in the ass?
The leagues, they're all so easy to work with.
Yeah, sure.
They're so pleasurable. They're never difficult. We've never had a complicated situation with any of the sports leagues. Look, I'm going to tell you one thing about the sports leagues. When you're doing a deal with them, they're really tough because they're fighting to get every penny from you they can. Once you get a deal done, they're actually great partners. And so one of the things that's been surprising, a lot of the times the leagues will kind of say, like, trust me, my nature is like, hell no. Like, you know, you guys are so, you know, you're always fighting for every penny for your owners. But once you get a deal in place, all the leagues are actually great partners. All of them. So when we went to them with the idea of Fanatics Fest, and I called Roger Goodell or Adam Silver or Rob Manfred or Gary Bettman or Don Garber and said, like, look, I've got this idea. They weren't like, well, they're like, great, we're in. Let's go. Let's come. And by the way, the leagues are spending a lot of money to come here, each of the leagues, to put incredible displays together, to make things that are great for fans. They're using their own networks to bring in their own athletes, separate of our athlete relationships, some of the big social influencers. So it's like, it kind of shows what the strength of the relationship, because without the leagues, we also, first of all, none of us would have jobs. And also, we wouldn't be doing Fanatics Fest because they're helping make it happen in a big way.
Exactly. So you mentioned Tom Brady a number of times. You're a buddy of his. He's getting ready to start a new job. Do you sense that he's a little bit nervous about his new job with Fox?
No, not at all. I sense the thing with Tom that's so special about him, it's why I think we have such a close relationship. His work ethic is insane. And so what I see, the energy that he puts into doing something, it's like something that, it's like, I respect it because, like, he's generally the first person that I communicate with in the morning because nobody else is up when he gets up. And when I get up, it's just, he's...
We're up.
Well, okay.
We are up.
Okay,
so true.
Guys, hit me in the morning. I'm ready to go. But I need more 4 and 5 a.m. friends. Actually, I have the 5 a.m. friends that are going to bed. Most of my friends are like artists. They're still up from the night before.
Yeah.
Like, and then Tommy's up in the morning kind of going at it. But no, I think he is going to do an incredible job. And it's going to be fun to watch him. And the one thing with Tom, his work, I think, again, is just he outworks everybody.
And that's the thing about you. And my question, I'm not even being funny. Do you sleep? Like, how do you find the energy to do this? Because this seems to me that this has taken years to plan.
Yeah, so I sleep about 5 hours a night. It varies. Sometimes I can be as little as 3.5 or 4 hours. Sometimes I can be as much as 6. Last night, I actually slept like 5.5 hours. I looked at my Whoop. I was very excited when it told me that I actually got a good night's sleep. But I don't, like, I just feel like I'm so excited in what I'm doing every day. Like, I wake up, like, just, I can't wait to jump up and start looking at my phone and dealing with all the things. By the way, when I look at my phone, there's always good things and bad things in my phone. Like, it's not like everything, like, there's problems every day that go wrong. Like, you're dealing with just mini crises and BS and things that didn't go the way you want. But it's like, it's so fun what we're doing. When you think about a company like Fanatics, that we just got in the gambling business, okay? And people told us we had no shot. People said FanDuel and DraftKings, they're a duopoly. You have no shot. Guess what? You know what? I love being the underdog. Nothing better than being the underdog. And you know what? We're like making real progress. I think we've got one of the best three parts. I think the Fanatics Sportsbook app today is every bit as good or better than the FanDuel and DraftKings app. I think people are telling us that now. They didn't tell us that 9 months ago. And, you know, we're seeing it. Customers are moving. We're picking up share every single month. So, like, I love competition. For me, I compete in business because I couldn't compete in sports. Unlike you, who actually was pretty successful guy.
Yeah, we compete in this radio business now. I can tell you that.
And by the way, how much fun do you have looking at ratings, seeing how you're doing? Are you kicking everyone's ass around you? Because that's the competition you do now.
Yeah, but I never touch the money. I never touch the money. You know why? I always want to be better. I always want to have more information. I always want to be more entertaining the next day than we were the previous day. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it works around here.
And you say what you say, I could not agree more with. I care about financial results for Fanatics, for winning as a company. I don't care about personal financial results. I don't care how valuable Fanatics is. I care about, how do we build the greatest company in the world? How do we take all the things we didn't go well? You were talking about the MLB jersey situation before. How do we take a situation that we kind of got stuck in the middle of, and how do we use that to make our company better, okay? How do we just do everything that we do better each day? And I got to tell you something. Some things we do really well, and some things we suck at. When we suck at something, we're going to work our ass off that much more to be better at it.
Here's the thing about you. As we talked to Michael Rubin, CEO of Fanatics, I'm assuming that owning a baseball, football, basketball team's got to be a lot of fun, especially when you're the face of the franchise like Bob Kraft is for the New England Patriots. It's got to be great walking around with all those Super Bowl rings and everything. But the beauty of you is that you have a piece of everything. I feel like your company is bigger than all of that just simply because you have these deals with all of these leagues and all of these teams.
So look, I say this humbly, and I want this to come across the right way. I agree with you. Like, I owned, you know, I was a very visible part of the Philadelphia 76ers, and it was an honor to do it. And by the way, we didn't succeed because we didn't win a championship ever.
Well, you had Ben Simmons.
Right.
He's on the Nets now. I don't know that.
So,
he's a Nets fan, by the way.
Yeah. I'm moving on to the Nets. I'm very good at just gracefully moving on when I need to.
He's got a bad back.
Well, your job is not to. So, for me, to be around sport the way I am, to get to work with so many incredible athletes and owners and sports properties, like, I think I have the greatest job in the world. So, for me, when people said, was it hard to move on from the Sixers? The answer for me was, well, I love the team, and Joel is like family to me. He's like my brother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Josh Harris and Dave Blitzer and Dave Adelman, I'm super close with the current ownership group. But it actually wasn't hard because I knew that the opportunity I had with Fanatics was so big, and I was thinking, like, I was just frothing at the mouth thinking about how do I get into the collectibles business? How do I get into the online sports betting business? How do I do things different and better? And how do I start something like Fanatics Fest? Like, for me, you're right. Right now, Fanatics Fest, as soon as the white party got done, I put all of my emphasis in the nights and mornings before, like, my normal 12 hours of meetings a day into getting more people to come out for it. That's why I'm here today. Talk about it, because I'm so excited about it. So, you know, it's just, like, I'm lucky to do what I do.
Is it? Are you going to the Olympics this year?
I am.
You are? Okay.
Last two basketball games, 7th through the 10th of August.
Are you sure they're going to be in those games?
I am.
Okay. You are? Okay.
I am.
I mean, there's a little bit of controversy around that team right now.
I'm confident.
Well, we all are confident in their abilities, but can they play together as a team?
You know, listen, let's keep this real. Basketball is a different sport than, say, football. Like, those are the two sports I'm around the most. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, a lot more players on a football team, and I think you grow up kind of, you know, it's just less of an NBA kind of, where you have, you know, a couple superstars get you a championship. I believe you've got great people that will play really well together. And you know what? Sometimes, look, we're in an age of social media's everywhere. Everyone knows everything. You can't keep anything a secret. So stuff that used to, when you played, you know, you didn't have social media to broadcast everything right away. You know, think about if you played today, it's a different world. You probably would get yourself in trouble today the way maybe you didn't. You know, when you play
back in the day, yeah, sure,
yeah.
But he'd also make $50 million a year.
Yeah, but he won't care.
He'd get invited to the white party.
he would just want to win more games.
Yes. Yeah,
have better ratings.
That's true.
And have more fun. Because at the end of the day, what are you going to do with the money? But what are you going to do with, you know, that feeling of winning? And for me, again, remember one thing: I can't win in playing sports. I can't win in school. I can win in business, and that's why I've got such a great opportunity with Fanatics.
Can I just get two more in real quick? Number one on Fanatics Fest, we're talking about the basketball. The fact that you got Brunson Hart, Walt Frazier, the timing of that in New York City, difficult to do? Or, again, those guys just want to be a part of it?
Here's what was crazy. I don't even know Ben Stiller. And I heard that our guys called Ben Stiller. He's like, or he actually reached out to us and said, I want to be part of this. This is great. So we've got, like, the Knicks panel, the Giants panel. They're going to be incredible. Like, and by the way, I called Strahan last week. I'm like, hey, Stray, can you come out and do this? He's like, yeah, of course I want to do that. He said he thought he was going to be away. Now he's here. He can make it work. By the way, he's going to be, like I said, interviewing me and Travis Scott. He's going to be, which I just realized I wasn't supposed to announce yet, but I did.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's good. Yeah, so, we broke some news.
Yeah, perfect. We broke some news by accident. What happens when you wind me up and I just keep going? but you know, Strahan's going to be on the panel for, nice. You know, with the Giants. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think when you explain to people what you're doing, people want to be part of something that's really cool. And I think there's nothing like this has ever been tried or done in sports. So I think it's been a pretty easy reception. The only thing that's hard is someone's like, okay, you know, we asked Bron to do it. Well, he's still going to be in Europe. Okay,
he is Bronny coming?
I don't actually.
He's got to come. Bronny's got to go.
I don't know that answer. I know Bron's in Europe. So my point is, like, you ask a lot of people, like, hey, I'm in Europe with my family. I only get a month off a year. So there's, like, you know, 20-30% of the people just so far away, it makes it hard. But we're going to get people to travel. There's going to be a lot of people.
It's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be great. Anything you do turns into gold. So this is going to be fantastic.
I appreciate those kind words.
All right, you're welcome. But let me ask you real quickly, off the top of your head, highest selling jerseys for active athletes, okay, NFL, would that be Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce?
Those two and C.J. Stroud would be three.
C.J. Stroud, really?
Think about this. New player.
Mm-hmm.
Team no one expected to be good. Comes out, does great. Gets the second round of the playoffs. So I think Patrick was one. I think Travis, helped by wifey over there.
Yes.
Was girlfriend, not wifey.
I
like to tease him. I'm a guy's band. I like to banter all the time.
All right, so okay, just, you know, okay.
Girlfriend becomes wifey.
Yes.
Helped by Taylor. Tom Brady's still. Always great. Yeah, I mean, he's like, honestly, he's like a jersey-selling machine. CJ, top jersey. So those are top jerseys that I know off the top of my head.
All right, baseball.
But this year, Caleb Williams so far.
Oh, yeah, okay. So all right, let's talk baseball. Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge?
Yes.
Right, Paul Skeens now. What about Skeens?
He's doing great.
I would think so.
Helped by Livy Dunn, of course.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Wifey.
Yeah, helped by wifey.
NBA. So it's got to be LeBron.
Always.
Always LeBron.
Always. Steph, always. Anthony Edwards, great. Joel Embiid, great.
Durant?
Always.
Does it matter which jersey?
Which one?
Yeah, people like newness. So like when you have a city edition jersey, it comes. People like change. That's what really, if you're just selling the same jersey year over year, like someone doesn't need to buy another, you know, if Patrick Mahomes, you know, exact version, what people look for is what's a new product that's coming.
All right, so do the City Connect ones do well then?
City Connect jerseys do amazing. Nike's done an incredible job innovating that.
See, that's a good thing they've done.
Great, not good. So I bet you City Connect, City Edition jerseys are probably a third of the respective league's business.
Wow.
Very incremental. They've done an amazing job with that. And more to come.
All right, so NHL's got to be Connor McDavid.
Without question.
Maybe Connor Bedard, maybe, rookie of the year. 19-year-old. It's his birthday today.
By the way, if you think about like a new career, you want to become a buyer at Fanatics in the jersey. I mean, like, you're killing it right now.
Well, I could take Brandon's spot in a heartbeat.
Brandon's out. We see Brandon, you're out. We got Boomer replaced. He's gonna handle all marketing. He's gonna handle all jersey buying.
How about Lionel Messi for Miami?
Number one jersey all last year was Messi.
That's got to be crazy.
For all sports?
Yes.
Really?
Crushed.
And that was the Miami jersey or the Argentinian jersey?
Miami jersey.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. You're missing one.
I'm missing what?
What
from
sport?
What sport?
I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
You're thinking about the wrong gender right now.
Oh, female.
Oh, Caitlin Clark.
Blowing out.
Yeah.
Incredible. Number one draft jersey ever.
So the question is, like, you know, for somebody like Tiger Woods, Serena Williams, and Caitlin Clark, these are generational talents that have an impact on the youth of America, maybe the youth of the world for that matter.
For
and
sure.
Maybe change the game. And, you know, Caitlin Clark plays the game like Larry Bird played the game when he was with the Celtics. And it was amazing to watch her and watch him. I mean, what do you think the overall impact of somebody like Caitlin Clark on the younger generation will be?
I think words can't underestimate what a huge impact she's having, what a huge impact the top WNBA stars are having. People talked about women's sports would happen for like decades. We've been hearing it for decades. It's going to happen. It's here. I remember just 5 years ago, someone was talking to me about a WNBA franchise. It's like, hey, it's $10 million. Today they're worth $200 million probably.
Wow. But they're still losing money, though.
By the way, a lot less money than a lot of NBA teams or NHL teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.